FYLP is sponsored by CapturedPrey.com. Visit CapturedPrey.com today for all your import and third-party Transformers needs, and save even more through the Captured Prey Loyalty Program. You can also save on shipping on domestic orders of $150 or more. See website for details. CapturedPrey.com. Great toys, great prices, great service. Mega Toy Fan. Maximize your collection with MegaToyFan.com for all your vintage toy needs. You can also find Mega Toy Fan at popular robot and toy conventions year-round. Minimize your costs and maximize your collection with MegaToyFan.com.
In a cold, faraway world, a battle is raging between evil and good. From the stones.
Perceptia here. Welcome to Transformers for your listening pleasure. TFYLP for short. Join us and discuss the latest in Transformers fandom. Now, where did I put that chorus stop?
Ratchet, will you take the chorus stop?
Transformers! Defenders of truth! Robots who fight in disguise!
Hello, everyone, and welcome to TFYLP, Transformers for Your Listening Pleasure, episode number 246. Recorded May 13th, 2017. I am your host, Daron Land, a.k.a. Weird Wolf. Along with me is Headmaster Don.
Hey, everybody.
And Rick Alvarez.
What?
What?
Oh.
What?
Present.
you didn't use the words phenomenal in front of Rick's name. That's why you didn't hear it.
Well, no.
Or glorious, or handsome.
Well, I was afraid to call him phenomenal because then he'd be start going, I don't want none. And, you know.
I'm more of a Bobby Roode type of glorious guy than an AJ Styles phenomenal.
Is this wrestling related?
Yes.
Okay, because I didn't watch any wrestling but Sergeant Slaughter.
You're not hip.
We're talking about cool. That thing where grown men in bikini bottoms hug each other aggressively. Yeah.
Yes.
Also known as wrestling.
And sweat all over each other.
Yeah. Over their hard bodies.
I'm afraid the only time I really watched wrestling because it was a lead into Elvira when I was a teenager.
Well, you might want to get really versed with the Attitude Era because rumor has it The Rock is actually going to run for president next term.
He's got my vote.
Yep. Yeah.
I'm not going to say anything because I don't want to turn this into a political podcast.
He'll probably be the most progressive candidate we ever have in history.
Probably. But anyway, this is Mother's Day weekend. So to all you mothers out there or expectant mothers, happy Mother's Day.
Or bad mothers.
Yes, bad mothers, bad mothers. We know what you did to make those babies.
Yeah.
And
threw out my comics.
Yeah. And as soon as you fans get through watching this podcast, if you can, call your mom, hug her, tell her how much you love her.
Absolutely. I've got mine.
And then ask her for money.
Yeah, I've got mine a really nice card, and I'm going to go visit her tomorrow. It's about an hour and a half drive away. Can't wait to go see her. As such, we've got a rather small cast tonight. A couple of people had to back out due to Mother's Day related.
I'm going to go visit my mother's grave tomorrow. Now, my mother's still alive, so.
What? That makes no sense. That's horrible. You're a horrible person.
You want to know how horrible I am? All right, ladies and gentlemen, you see this mannequin over here? You see that? So,
did you do what I suggested?
All right, so this is what happened. Before we get into our show tonight, I have a Rick story. So I'm driving along, and I see a store going out of business. I'm like, I need to stop in there and see if they got some display cases. So they have this mannequin here, and it's gray, and it's like the Silver Surfer, and I'm like, I need to take this man home with me. So I rip them down from 150 to 135. So I take this mannequin home. And I dress him up as Captain America. And and I put them right in front of my closet door. So when my wife opens the closet, when she comes home, this man is standing there. So I take my youngest to dance class, and she usually meets me at dance class, and she didn't show up this time. So I'm like, all right, I'm not home to film this. All right, well, let me call her. Let me see what's up, because I knew she would have called me to rip me up if she had found it. So I call her. She's like, oh, yeah, I'm just on the bed. I'm finishing my notes up from work today. I'm like, all right. Well, I'll be home in a little bit. I get home. I, like, skid into the driveway. I grab the kid. I put her in the house. And I go, and I just, like, make a beeline for my bedroom. And I open the door to my bedroom, and there's the mannequin standing right in front of me and just scares the crap out of me. And, like, I was, for the first time ever, I felt two different emotional spectrums at once. I felt fear and joy at the same time, and my body shut down.
Rick
I
got
I fell
Rick.
To the ground, and my chest and my breastises were numb. And I was trying to laugh while I was crying in fear. And
so when she
ricked me.
So when you were on the ground, did you roll around? Did you Rick roll?
I told her I was so proud of her. She's like, I was going to call you and tear you up. But then I thought, what would Rick do? So she pulled the mannequin in front of the bedroom door and waited for me to open it. And that was the most proudest I've ever been of my wife. Not, oh, great, you popped out a kid. Oh, great, you graduated med school. No. You got me, bitch. You got me.
Did you do what I suggested yet?
Oh, no, I have not. That'll be part two. That'll be part two when I somehow – I got to wait for her to be, like, really asleep for me to slip the mannequin in the bed. I think what I'm gonna do next is dress
you're rather
up
stiff
in
tonight.
Lingerie.
Well, Rick, I'm gonna be a jerk just for a minute, and I will say for her that could be an upgrade.
Oh,
he's got a pretty stacked butt. I mean,
have
my
you
neighbor
felt that
saw
thing
me
yet?
she saw me taking this out of the van, and she's like, that guy's got a pretty big ass. My Captain America.
Are you sure she wasn't talking about your wife?
So tonight's show
you would be her ass.
right. Yes.
What you need to do now, Rick, is install a little sound box. So when anyone walks by, you hear when Captain America throws his mighty shield.
No. You know, totally need to do one of those Ferris Bueller things. Set up like a tape recorder with him snoring.
Exactly.
I
got this not to scare my wife, but because I'm working on the basement and I have a bunch of costumes, and I just kind of wanted to do like a Batcave type thing where I have a mannequin and all the different costumes. So this is step one. I got a really nice Captain America outfit. I got a really nice comedian outfit from Watchmen. So I think I'm going to start lining up. You know, I could put him in my kids' bedroom one night when they're sleeping.
So when oh!
The morning, he's just no. standing there staring at them.
You need, put, like, need to get one of those costumes that looks like something from Where the Wild Things Are. Or a Skeksis. Yeah.
I don't know, but next one I'm definitely going to film, man. That's got YouTube written all over it.
Yes, it does. Yeah. Well, you know, before we go into our discussion today, I want to point out, if you really love what we do, we have this thing, as if you're watching us on the YouTube channel right down there at the bottom of the screen, support us on our Patreon page, patreon.com/TFYLP. Help us keep the lights on. Help us keep get equipment to do the podcast with, like this boom arm that I have for my mic now. So hopefully I've got nice, good, clear audio. Eventually going to get some more. I know Michael Swift has got one now. And it's all thanks to the Patreon putting it to work. So, you know, every little bit helps, and we appreciate everything that everybody's done for us so far and continues to do. Thank you. Check us out at patreon.com/TFYLP. Also, we have some sponsors over here on the left side of the screen. CapturePrey.com, great toys, great prices, great service, CapturePrey.com, where you can save even more with the loyalty program and free domestic shipping on orders of $150 or more. Some great stuff coming in soon. I know Fans Toys Phoenix, I believe, is supposed to be showing up sometime this month. So that'd be really awesome.
And even though it's not coming out soon, if your Combiner's Wars Devastator is lonely and needs somebody to punch, they've got their Omega coming out soon.
Oh, absolutely, yes. And I believe those are up for pre-order. I don't know if they're sold out yet. The pre-orders are sold out yet. I haven't looked in a couple weeks, but they were up for pre-order on CapturePrey.com.
Trying to avoid temptation, huh?
Yeah, I haven't ordered it simply because I really want to watch my spending. I know my Transformer spending I need to bring down. But you know, bringing down costs is something that I've really worked on, and I did that through MegaToyFan.com. I completed my G1 Defensor with MegaToyFan this past week. I got those final couple pieces in, and he is looking pretty sweet. And I've got some Repro labels here to put on him, so can't wait to do that next opportunity I've got. But you can check out Mega Toy Fan at all the popular robot and toy conventions year-round, such as TFCon coming up later this summer, also TFCon USA in the fall. I believe he's going to be at Pete's Robot Convention later this week this month. So you can check out Mega Toy Fan, maximize your collection while minimizing your cost with MegaToyFan.com. But today we are talking about something. We've actually talked about it before on TFYLP. We've talked about alternators. But alternators is something that I'd like to revisit once in a while. They are relevant because they have a little bit of impact on what the state of the Transformers collector fandom is today. A lot of people collect masterpieces. I know I'm a huge masterpiece collector, and you guys are too. And alternators had a big, big part in that. They actually opened my eyes to what I was really, really wanting for years and years and years. So let's talk about alternators. Rick, you want to tell us a little bit about what alternators are for those who may be just getting into collecting and don't know what alternators are?
Why do you always throw it to me to explain things?
Because you explain things in a way that us idiots can understand, you know?
Yeah, and if I do it, I'll go like, picture it.
Year was 2003.
Well, I could toss it to Don because he was just a teenager whenever Transformers came out.
When Transformers Alternators came out, Don was already like having a midlife crisis.
Yeah, I was in my 30s. Yeah, I was in my 30s.
Lord.
All right. Just everybody shut up. Let me talk. All right. So, was it 2003? I believe it was 2003.
03 or 04, somewhere in there.
2003. So, this was a transitional year for the Transformers brand. We had the Unicron trilogy going up. At the time, we had one Masterpiece figure, and that was
MP01.
Masterpiece Optimus Prime, the first version. And we got our first glimpse of Smokescreen, which was Binaltech, is also the Japanese name of Alternators. And Alternators was a line of Transformers. They were Voyager-sized figures of G1 characters based off licensed vehicles. So the only way you could become an alternator is there was a real life vehicle, and Hasbro Takara had entered into agreement to license that particular design. We got our first glimpse into alternators through Smokescreen. Now, that was a Subaru Impreza, and in Japan, many of the alternators or final tests were die-cast, while in America, they were plastic. And a lot of them had the steering wheel on the opposite side, because in Japan, they drive on the correct side of the road. In America, we do it backwards. So, alternators was that high definition, bringing back classic G1 characters at first. And these toys kind of fit in line with your masterpiece figures. They were really in good scale with that first Optimus Prime. And we got Smokescreen. And while it's an interesting choice, and he wasn't a 280 ZX as he was in G1. He was still, you know, he was still a rally car. There's all sorts of variations.
He still had that very G1-ish look in his transformation.
He had the silhouette of the G1 transformation with the doors popping out the side and the hood as the chest. And of course the classic head.
And so the feet.
And the feet, yeah. He had the silhouette. It passed the squint test, as we say in the Bayverse. Does it pass the squint test? And Alternator Smokescreen definitely did. Not all of them did, but Smokescreen was the first to come out, and he kind of set the bar. And I still think he's probably the best alternator
out of all
the alternators to come out.
I would agree with that.
So there's a million variations on alternators. It's the precursor to what became the modern masterpiece line. And it's really amazing how the current value of alternators, a lot of people really just don't want them now. Yeah. And they really have gone down dramatically in price.
You can pick up most of them for $20 and under now.
Yeah, it's kind of the same thing when you see, I think all of us know people that have dropped collecting a lot of things and going just with Masterpiece because they are the definitive edition. But it's like we said earlier, I don't think we would have Masterpiece now, or at least not the way we have it currently, without alternators, because that's the first time we had really licensed products, unless it was a one-off, like maybe like AVO Swerve, something like that.
Well, if I'm not mistaken, RID Sideburn had to be licensed through Dodge.
I think that had to be retroactive. I think there was an issue where they had to retroactively pay.
Yeah. But I know people that have just been, I mean, they're good collectors, but this, like, as soon as Masterpiece started, they just started getting rid of their alternators, and I can't do that. For the issues alternators and BinalTech had, at the time, these were some of the best toys we had ever gotten. Intricate, looked good, the car modes looked great, and they definitely deserve a solid place in the Transformers history, and also giving us what would become Masterpiece, like you said, Rick. And just not keeping them or not collecting them anymore seems kind of odd, as unique as some of them are.
Well, you know, it's interesting. We all kind of say they're kind of the precursors of Masterpiece, but there was a long period of time between the last alternators and that first mini Masterpiece that came out. It was Sideswipe, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So alternators ended in 2005,
I think, wasn't it?
2005, and the last BinalTech came out in 2008, which was a reissue. So there is a big period of time between, I mean, I think that's like 5 years, right?
Five, six years
between the end of alternators and the beginning of what is the current Masterpiece line. So it's interesting that we all kind of see it that way, even though I would say a lot of the younger generation of collectors don't really know too much
about. Well, I think from my standpoint as a collector, alternators and vinyl techs. I had them all. You know, I mean, back in the day, I had them loose and sealed. They were gorgeous. I love those toys. I remember I would drive for miles to pick up alternators. I would look for them in every store I went to. Sometimes I would buy them just to buy them because I wanted to support, you know, support the brand with my money. I'm like, I want more of these. And as a collector, I think mentally it prepared me for what I wanted out of the Transformers line. As a Generation 1 fan, I wanted fully articulated, very realistic versions of the original characters I wanted. And Alternators, more or less, was giving me something that I wanted so badly.
Let's remember what was happening at the time. As I said, you know, I think why they hit so big, yes, part of it was how well they fit in with the Masterpiece line, but I think with collectors, why Alternators hit so big was it wasn't like today where we had Generations and we had all these G1 characters reappearing again, their classic G1 or G1 inspired vehicle modes. We had the Unicron trilogy, and those designs were very far away from what G1 was. And for us older guys, you know, G1 is the best. So that's right. We were getting the classic characters again with designed in the silhouette of their original modes. And for, you know, Smokescreen, it was perfect. Some other characters, all right, maybe the body's not there, but the head is, and the colors are there. So
like the Mazda for Jazz. And
right. I think Trax was the only one that was the actual car that he was in G1. So we'll talk about Trax in a second. But so we had Smokescreen as a Subaru Impreza, and then we had Sideswipe was the second to come out.
As a Dodge Viper.
And he was a Dodge Viper. Right. And that one was a very different take on it. And I think you can tell that there are two different design aspects here. There's two different people designing these at that point because the transformation was not reminiscent of G1 like the Smokescreen was. The vehicle mode was not reminiscent of G1 like Smokescreen was. Outside of color. Outside of color and the head, it was drastically different. I mean, even Smokescreen's gun was reminiscent of G1. And later reissues of that figure came with the missile launchers for shoulders. So Sideswipe was very far removed from his G1, unlike Smokescreen. But it was still, we had already bought into the idea that, okay, we can change their car modes. Okay, but the color is there, and that's the character, and it's really G1 Sideswipe. All right, it's that character, just a new interpretation, and that's okay. And what was the next one? Hound, right?
Dead End, I think, was the third one, wasn't it?
Which was a repaint of Sideswipe
with a hardtop,
and that was that came out through Vinyl Tech. So in Japan, they were making theirs diecast, while Hasbro was making theirs plastic. So those are very big variations right there, but then the steering columns are variants, and then with Smokescreen you have all the different numbers. You have the 7, you have the 8. There's all these different packaging variations.
Wasn't there a 38 one as well? It seemed like there was an exclusive or something other where there was a 38 on the door.
No, there was the 7, there was the 8, and then there was the reissue that came with the.
I know they remolded the front too for one of the Smokescreens.
Oh, that's right. There is a 1 and a 2. Right. Yeah, there's a 7 and an 8. And then later on, there was a 1 and a 2. And one of those ones came with the the number one and the number two, because it's a rally car, came with the missile launchers and a slight remold. There's a lot of smokescreen variants out there.
Night Sword said Hound was the fourth U.S. release. So that means we had smokescreen, sideswipe, dead end, and then Hound, I believe.
All right, so let's talk about dead end. Dead end has the G1 Sunstreaker head. And I think what was happening was Hasbro Takara got scared there was no Decepticons. So they took something that was obviously intended to be Sunstreaker, which is a redeco of Sideswipe. And it really doesn't matter what generation we're talking about. There are certain characters which are always just redecos of each other.
Mm-hmm.
So clearly it was supposed to be Sunstreaker. It had the clear G1 Sunstreaker head, but it was painted black, and that became Dead End.
Well, I remember at the time, Rick, I remember reading on various news fronts is the reason it was going to be Dead End. It was supposed to be Sunstreaker first, but they were having such a terrible time on the yellow paint issue. Because, I mean, with you working Hasbro, and all the fans know how hard yellow paint is to get right. I mean, even today with, like, the Legends Bumblebee, they still cannot get yellow to work. I think the best example is probably Masterpiece Bumblebee as far as getting all the tones equal on a figure. So that's why the Dead End came out, not just because of the Decepticon thing, but because the Sunstreaker version was going to be delayed because of the paint issues. Same thing with Trax.
I've heard that before, and I think I asked Old Man Archer at OTFCC 2004 if that was the case, and I think he told me it was the Decepticon thing. They needed a bad guy in that line because there are yellow alternators out there.
Oh yeah.
So there's Sunstreaker. There's a yellow version of Trax. Okay, so then we got Hound. Okay, so I think Hound and.
Well, we had Silver Streak actually came after Sideswipe. There was Smokescreen. You can tell I don't have a wiki pulled up here, but Smokescreen, Sideswipe, Silver Streak, then Hound.
But what I was saying is, I think Hound and Trax are the only ones, right, that were actually their G1 cars.
Hound, Trax.
Hound was the Jeep.
Yeah.
And Trax was the Corvette. And I think, Dom, you might remember this. Do you remember seeing...
Skids was close.
He was close in look. But do you remember seeing concept art for the Sideswipe Dodge Viper body, but with Trax's head on it? Do you remember seeing that concept art?
I remember that.
Yeah.
I don't.
Okay. So... I think that Sideswipe, before he became Sideswipe, was originally going to be Trax. And they held off on that, thinking maybe eventually they can get that license. And eventually they did. And we eventually got Trax in the Corvette. However, we didn't quite get him the way we wanted to. I think they needed a color break. So... the first release of Trax was in yellow, which really doesn't make any sense, but okay, it's fine. It's reinventing the character. We all knew he was going to come out in blue anyway. Eventually, he did come out in blue from both Hasbro and Takara. But the first release of Trax was yellow, and he was the Corvette. As more and more... alternators started coming out, more liberties were taken. So characters that weren't cars started showing up in the line. And I think that's the perfect evolution of the line. Okay, it makes sense. I wish we had gotten a lot more of the 84, 85 cast, but we eventually got Grimlock in the alternators line as a Ford Mustang.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, okay, Grimlock is a Mustang. Okay, it's a muscle car. He's a muscle guy. Sure.
Outside of that damn waist, he was an awesome toy. I love that
one. Right. And it's a great toy. And, okay, I would say, all right, fine. You know, maybe I could have seen Grimlock as an F-150, but okay, fine. He's a muscle car. But then we get Wheeljack also in that line as well as a Grimlock remold. And just having the two of them next to each other does, for me, create a disconnect. I don't know how you guys feel about it. I'm happy to have Wheeljack in my Alternators line. But having him as the same body as Grimlock does create a disconnect for me. So they have to exist on opposite ends of the shelf.
I'll be honest, the Grimlock mold is probably one of my least favorite designs because I always have had trouble transforming that from the get-go. And that's probably when someone mentions the difficulty of transforming these alternators to some degree, that's the one I associate with the problem because I never liked that transformation. I like the end result for Grimlock. It's just getting there was not half the fun. It was zero fun for me.
You're right. Yeah, you're right. There were no yellow Traxxas in the U.S. release.
Yeah.
Right. It was just the Binaltech, right?
Yeah. Binaltech's the only yellow Traxxas that we got.
Okay. So Binaltech came out. Thank you for correcting me.
Yeah. Thanks to Don sending me the link here. I'm on to the wiki. TF okay, Wiki, so useful.
Thanks, Paul, and Chris. Appreciate it, man.
So, non-car characters started showing up. And then we get characters that are called certain G1 names. But even the head, if that's the only thing that's reminiscent of G1, even the head has an absolute disconnect, such as Alternator's Windcharger.
Yeah.
I think looking at it, you can clearly tell that it's supposed to be G1 Overdrive, one of the Omnibots. From looking at that head, all right, it's a sports car. It's red, but if you look at that figure and you look at the head, that's Override. And I think Hasbro just wanted to kind of just push out the G1 side of it. And name him Windcharge. And to me, this is kind of when the line starts getting a little wonky. First, you got Grimlock. Okay, sure, fine, I'll buy that. It's a Dinobot, it's a car. Okay, fine. And you get Windcharger. It's like, well, it's not really Windcharger. Maybe it was a name issue. Maybe they're just trying to capitalize off the G1 name. But there's a big disconnect there from what the other alternators are. And then you start to get characters like Decepticharge,
which was supposed to have been Dragstrip, essentially.
Right. So I would have bought that car. I would have bought that. It's supposed to be Dragstrip. So what is it? It's the he's the Mazda, right?
Yeah, Mazda. No, Honda S2000.
Okay, so he's a Honda, right? Dragstrip is a yellow and black Honda. Okay. G1 Dragstrip was yellow, okay? But the Dragstrip in Alternators has a Megatron head. And don't tell me he doesn't. Because he does.
He does.
He's got a Megatron head. All right.
However, Megatron was originally going to be a Cadillac, was he not?
Yeah, that was at the end of the line, and we'll get to that. But looking at this guy, he's got the bucket head. He's got all the visual cues of a Megatron head. And what kills me is that name.
Decepticharge.
I mean, lame. Honestly, out of all the names available, you gotta go with Decepticharge. That's like calling a good guy like Autobototron.
Well, the one interesting thing that we did get from the Windcharger Decepticharge mold was this lady right here.
Yeah.
Right.
But I don't take
I RC. Never now that is one I never got.
Which unfortunately has the most laziest non remolding of the head I have ever. I mean, this is the one flaw I have with this toy in general is I would not mind this being RC. But that head is absolutely terrible for this character. And you would think they would try to at least get another use out of this from, at least expect other uses for other female Autobots. They could have done Alita 1 as a version and so forth and so on. So I have her. I just keep hoping one day I'll find a way to get a head for her that looks more like her. But, you know, and this is one that we did not get as an alternator version in the United States.
What was the name of that character in Japan? That was it, RC?
I think, let me check the wiki page, but I want to say it was RC.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So again, it's got the same head as the Override, which is that Megatron head to me. So here we kind of see, we have such a great, strong, right out the gate start with alternators. But as the line progresses, things start to get a little wonky, choices start to get a little loosey-goosey, and then the names start to fall apart, and you start to get away from what the concept of alternators was at its inception. And I know that every line evolves. However, I think this line could have gone a little farther if they hadn't stepped so far away from what the original, say, mission of alternators was.
And I've got a figure here, Rick, that might sum up what you're saying here in Agent Ravage.
All right, so that's a great example. That's a great example.
Well, Agent Ravage was the upright one. That's actual.
Oh, I'm sorry. That's right.
All right, so let's talk about Ravage. Ravage falls into that Grimlock category, right? It's a guy that didn't really turn into a car, but hey, we have the name. Let's make him an alternator, sure. So they take the Trax, the Corvette, and they put I would say it's a very Beast Wars Ravage inspired head on it, right? Yeah. And that kind of looks like Tripartite's Agent Ravage from Beast Wars in the Alternators line. And I think the bio in Japan actually said that, right?
I don't remember. If it did, because I don't read Japanese, so.
Yeah, I think it did make mention that he was a time traveler of some sort, or that he traveled back in time. Somewhere in the manga, I believe that existed.
Why do I hear a Rush song in there somewhere?
And if somebody out there is listening, please correct me if I was wrong. So Ravage is a great example because he showed up twice during the Alternators line. So you have this upright bipedal Ravage, which to me is reminiscent of the Beast Wars Ravage. But then later on towards the end of the line, you have this other Ravage come out, which is
it was a Walmart exclusive.
And it was a Jaguar that turned into a Jaguar.
It was a Jaguar that turned into Jaguar, right. So he had the great missile launchers on the side, and it's a great, great figure. It's a really great figure. One of the hardest to transform, I think.
That's one of my favorite ones, though. And, you know, despite the transformation, but the articulation issues, I kind of like the Optimus Prime mold, too, the Dodge Ram.
All right, so let's talk about the Optimus Prime. Because he came towards the end of the line, I would say. So yeah, for many of us, we had all our alternators next to our MP01, our Masterpiece Optimus Prime. And that's kind of where they existed. They were in that same universe for many fans.
They were.
Then Hasbro and Takara come to an agreement to release Convoy. So Takara had really wanted Convoy to come out. Hasbro, I know, was hesitant of it. Hasbro, aside from that, also wanted to do a pickup truck. Now, there are very few pickup trucks in Japan. They are utility vehicles. no regular citizen owns a pickup truck in Japan. So the way that Hasbro got Takara to go along with making an Optimus Prime was by making him the pickup truck. And that way, in Japan, Convoy sells regardless. So they could use that tooling and sell it in Japan and know that they would sell it because it was Optimus Prime. So it was kind of like the perfect storm. Both teams came together and said, all right, how can we get a pickup truck in the alternators line? How can we get Optimus Prime in the alternators line, Final Tech line? We'll put the two together. Everybody sells them.
But common sense would have said to make him Ironhide, in my opinion.
Yes. Yes. He would have made a great Ironhide, but and then I was just talking about like the dissolution of what alternators, like the breakdown of that line was, all right, now you have Optimus Prime, so all these figures that were in front of your masterpiece Optimus Prime, your MP01, well, now they go with this other character here, with this other alternators appropriate Optimus Prime. And it's starting to unravel. The wheels are starting to come off the track, if you will. I want to mention quickly that Optimus Prime in Japan, Convoy, was released in plastic. And at some point, I forget which figure, Takara had started to release the Vinyl Techs in plastic. Maybe it started with Kiss Players. We'll get to that at the very end. But Takara did release a Nemesis Convoy, aka Nemesis Prime. It came in the same packaging as the one in America. However, theirs was die-cast. And that's like still like the one alternator that's like, I think that still sells for around $300 in the package.
Yeah, he's expensive.
He was very limited, and he was die-cast. And I think that was the only die-cast Optimus in alternators, if I remember correctly. In Biotech, yeah. So other characters started showing up. We had Shockwave show up. Again, another non-character, which is fine. But at least with Shockwave, they kept the head and they kept the gun arm. And that gun arm is what sold us on that figure. I think if he didn't have that gun hand, then it just wouldn't have been Shockwave.
It would have been that disconnect like you mentioned with Grimlock and Wheeljack. You know, it's like, okay, I can kind of see the... It's like they hit so many of the visual cues for that character. And he's purple, he's got the right head. But if he didn't have the gun arm, he's like, okay, he's just not Shockwave. You know, right. At what point it kind of pushed the lines of at what point does a character stop being the character?
Right. So let's talk about Rollbar then. At what point does a character stop being a character? And at what point? Well, the point is when Hasbro has to start pushing out repaints. That's when the character stops being the character. So Rollbar in G1 was a Jeep, and they had a Jeep available, but they already had put out a green Jeep with Hound. So now if they wanted to reuse that as Rollbar, they would have had to have changed the color.
Feed your cat, Don.
That's actually my cat.
Yeah.
Oh.
That's actually my cat.
Massey would
go away!
Massey would be clawing me at this point if that was him.
So that's Aria. I threw a pillow at her. She's under the bed for a while.
I don't want to talk about my cat.
Yeah. So... Rollbar came out. Yes, he was a Jeep, but like Trax, there was a yellow Corvette, but he looks like Trax, so we'll call him Trax. Rollbar came out in orange instead of his classic G1 green. And again, that's fine. It's okay to reinvent, but by the time Rollbar came out, I mean, that is a significant departure from what the concept of alternators was and the dream of what alternators was. And yes, you can make an argument, well, Smokescreen, alternator Smokescreen was not in the colors of G1 Smokescreen.
Well, don't forget Rollbar was Swindle before he was Rollbar.
Yes. And to the people who make the argument, well, Smokescreen was never in G1 Smokescreen colors, yes, I understand that. But his spirit was there because he was a rally car and he had the numbers on the side. And we all know G1 Smokescreen was a rally car with the numbers on the side. And the silhouette was perfect. The transformation was indicative of that G1 era. And it was just, it was perfect. And when, by the time we get to Roll Bar, it's like, he's just a repaint because they got the mold type of thing. And I think he's like the character that probably sells the least on the secondary market.
Well, Roll Bar?
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I distinctly remember having a discussion. I want to believe it was with Insane Galvatron in regards to Roll Bar, because he is obviously meant to be the Throttlebot Roll Bar. And I believe it was stated back in the day, you know, everybody's like, well, why is he orange? Roll Bar is not orange. And as you said, it was the answer was, well, we already have a green Jeep Hound. My argument was, well, why not just take the colors of Roll Bar, gray and green, or green and gray, and then inverse them. Make him a gray Jeep with green highlights. That's what I would have done. I think
that would have been a great solution.
Yeah. Yeah. He would have still had the same colors, just inverted.
You know, I think because a couple of years after this line ended, I can't remember the year they said this at BotCon, but they had said that they had realized they were just tossing names to molds that didn't fit the character, and that was something that they were going to try to change. That they just not tossing names out and try to be more true to the character name fitting what they go to. So maybe when they saw all this stuff and it not matching up with the character, maybe some of this led to that.
Right, and a perfect example is Ricochet. Yes. So, as we were talking about before, there are certain characters, regardless of the generation, that are always repaints of each other, and that works well for us fans because we expect it now, but it also works well for Hasbro because they are able to reuse the molds with little to no retooling cost. Well, we got Meister, which was the name of Jazz in the alternators line. Now, Jazz was the Mazda, but when Ricochet came out, we would all have expected him to be the Mazda. However, he was a Smokescreen redeco. You guys remember that?
Mm-hmm.
So it's one of those examples. Okay, the colors match, but the head is wrong, and he's not a repaint. And it just doesn't quite make sense when you have Alternators Jazz just sitting here, and all you had to do was paint him. So I wonder if that was a situation where, hey, it's the new guy who's not too familiar with the brand is putting this out. Or is it a situation where they had already lost the license to the Mazda vehicle? Or is it a situation where the mold for the Mazda had been damaged?
I couldn't figure out why Prowl wasn't released using the Smokescreen Silver Streak mold, because Prowl was also one of those. You know, he came out as a him and Camshaft, I believe.
Yes.
They were... I forget what the model of car it was, but, and it was, in my opinion, arguably one of the worst alternator molds because they use clear plastic for
Acura.
Yeah, the Acura RSX. Yes. It was, it had some very weak plastic, on it in a lot of points, and just the overall design of it. I didn't like the arms the way it was on there. But the biggest thing about it was, like, you have a mold that Prowl was based on. The head is there. All you got to do is remold the roof of the car, or peg a hole in it and stick a light bar on it. Boom, Prowl. You know, why not? Why create a whole new mold? And this was an argument back in the day. I remember the boards being afire with this. You know, why create a whole new mold for Prowl when you already had an existing mold that it would fit perfectly with?
Well, now, Rick, maybe you can explain this. Now, when Hasbro goes to
a company to get their rights. Generally, they have to pay for the rights to use that vehicle or use that, use the likeness. Mm-hmm. But could the company come to them, like what happened with GM and AVO Swerve, and say, we want to give you money if you use our silhouette in your product line? So could they, could that have happened with Prowl, maybe, that they said, we want our image, because that police car was a lot more familiar in Japan than it would be in the United States.
Yeah. Well, let me tell you what my theory is on this. Because it is weird that they already had the smoke screen, but then they make a Prowl, and the Prowl, even though it's a different vehicle, it does have the Prowl head. All right. So I think what happened was, and this is just a theory, that the marketing team was going out and aggressively pursuing vehicle licenses. And they had acquired the RSX license, and they needed to use it by a certain date. But they didn't have a character to fit. They didn't, they were getting the licenses, not thinking of who, what character is going to be what car. They were just pursuing the licenses. And I think they acquired the license, and then they said, oh, this is an important character. This vehicle is used as a police car in Japan. Let's take this opportunity to make this into Prowl. Even though there's a smokescreen, it would make sense for us to use this toy because, as you mentioned, that car is recognized as a police vehicle in Japan. They had already acquired the license. They needed a recognizable name. So why not? And again, as I said, I'm okay with reinventing. And I think it worked that the car came with a nightstick.
Yeah.
It had the G1 Prowl head. If it had come with a head that was completely unrecognizable as Prowl, or if it came with a head that was supposed to be a different, an easily recognizable different character, like Dead End was Sunstreaker, then to me it would have been a fail. But I think it's okay to have appropriate new vehicles that still carry the essence of the character. So with that, I'll transition into Camshaft, which was it was the very last alternator to come out, probably the hardest alternator to get in the U.S. I don't think I ever saw him in stores.
I saw him like twice. That was it.
Yeah. But and I Camshaft. Had Camshaft was a straight redeco of Alternator's Prowl. And to me, it's one of those, another bumps on the head. Well, you had Windcharger as Overdrive. You make Camshaft, and you're just giving a name to a character. Well, I can definitely confirm that Camshaft was supposed to be Blue Streak. Not Silver Streak, but Blue Streak. And the reason I know that is because I have a hand-painted version of it where the license plate actually says
Blue Streak.
Yeah, it says Blue Streak, but it's abbreviated. I think it's BLSTRK on it. And that's the only difference from the actual – that's the only color difference from the actual release. So that was definitely supposed to be Blue Streak. So on my shelf, Camshaft is Blue Streak to me because of his history. No. So should we talk about some of the exclusives?
Sure.
I'm just going to say one thing real quick. The one thing I loved about the alternators packaging, both versions, but what we got originally and the fishbowl packaging, that really stood out on the shelf because there was no other Transformer you could confuse that with in those boxes. So if you were looking for just those figures, you didn't even have to go down the row. You could just go, nope, don't have anything. Because you could tell where they're supposed to go, and there was nothing else like them. So that's one thing I think they got right was the packaging, especially the fishbowl version, because you saw the whole car. You could check for paint defects.
So Dom, why don't you explain what the fishbowl version of the packaging is.
They originally went with a regular box format, much like the G1 boxes, where you had one side of the vehicle facing out, and it was a little more, it was a little bit bigger, so you could see kind of see the top of the vehicle in the box. But when they transitioned over to the fishbowl, it literally was a clear plastic dome on top of the figure that you could see all the sides except the rear end and this partial section. So if this is the entire packaging, right here was your character artwork and such showing who it was. But it made for a lot easier looking at the character, looking at the toy, checking for paint issues, things like, you know, people, also people I know who have no desire for Transformers have collected these because they are 1/24 scale car collectors. And so they would check and make sure that the paint was, everything was fine, the logos were fine. And these things have never been transformed because they don't care it's a robot in disguise. It's that car for their collection. So that's one thing I think that they really got right was the packaging changeover, because you could see everything and it was such a visual thing on the front. And one other thing I was going to mention, Rick, I forgot to mention earlier, with they must have had a lot of faith in this line, because for Hasbro to, because I was told by several friends, you just can't take a die-cast mold and pour plastic into it. You just can't use the same mold for both materials. So for Hasbro to make plastic versions of all these Binotechs, that must have shown they had a lot of faith in this line at the time.
I would definitely agree. I would definitely agree. I think they were looking at this as their a cheaper way of bringing masterpiece-like toys to the consumer, which is when Optimus Prime is introduced in the line. There is, again, that disconnect between your MP01 and the alternator at that point, because then you know there is an Optimus Prime.
But $20 for an alternator, that was a lot of toy for $20. Yeah. I mean, you know, that was a lot of toy for a $20 price point.
You know, we're talking, you know, over 10 years ago.
I know.
So, you know, I can think back to Beast Wars when the Luxes were bigger than they are today, and they were $9.99.
Yeah. Before we get too far along, there is one important mold too that we forgot. Actually, there's two, but one of them actually still brings quite a bit of money on the market today, and that's the Ford GT mold as Mirage, and well, the SCCC Rodimus as well. The Ford GT mold, I just looked on eBay, and there's still some that's like the asking price is like $50 on those guys.
Well, I have the Kiss Players version of Rodimus because I got it at a time when it was cheap for that.
Do you feel dirty, Don?
No, I don't, because it's a beautiful figure. I don't have his fishing pole gun here, but I really like they took his fishing pole from the movie and it breaks down into his sidearm blasters. I've got it put away because of, you know, little teeth eating things they shouldn't. But, you know, yeah, this was hard to get, but I got it for a good price. And it's the Mirage mold. And I got very lucky. Our friend Andrew, helped me get the Electro Disruptor version of that Mirage. And so I have all three versions, and this is the kind of reimagining that I think looks great for both Mirage and for Hot Rod.
Right, because they share the same head. And as I said, paint goes a long way. And to prove that Takara really is on the paint game, you talked about the electrostatic Mirage. Takara released a version of the Alternator's Binotech Mirage, but in clear, to symbolize that clear invisibility power that Mirage had. And that's just not something that Hasbro would have released the main line.
That thing fetches around $250 to $300 in box. Yeah. Still.
But it is beautiful.
It is.
And I would say, you know, that's definitely one of the coolest alternators. But besides Smokescreen, who has that emotional attachment, one of the other great alternators out there is the Honda Civic, which is Rumble. But it's very hard to get peace. So not a lot of people have taken the time to appreciate it. And it came at the end of the line, too.
Yeah. That was another Walmart exclusive, because I remember checking several Walmarts. And I actually found mine stuck on the board game row. I don't know why they were there. They were just literally stuck on a bottom shelf where a board game went. And it was like, yes, I'll take two. Thank you.
Night Source says Hot Rodimus Rodimus had its own head apart from Mirage.
Oh, did it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, with the visor gimmick.
Yeah, because he does have.
So that was the Takara version, right?
Yeah, that's the one I've got is the Takara
version. Right, that was the Takara version. Okay. The San Diego Comic Con Rodimus then I think had the Mirage head, if I remember correctly. Maybe it didn't.
It's hard to remember, but
it's been over 10 years. So
yeah. One thing I'll never forget is trying to get Nemesis Prime from Hasbro Toy Shop.
Yeah.
Because that was not fun.
So that was back in the day when I'm just trying to confirm that. I think the San Diego Hot Rod did have the Japanese head on it and not a Mirage head repaint. So that was back in the day when it was really difficult to buy the exclusive off of the Hasbro Toy Shop. And everyone would wait like for that Monday after Comic-Con for them to go up, and then the system would crash and everybody would be really mad and pissed off. And
it was Digital River before Digital River was Digital River.
Yes, yes. And for those of you who don't know what Digital River is, God bless you for being innocent.
Yes.
So, Decepticon Rumble, an amazing, amazing figure. Again, a character that was never a car, but his arms transformed into the pile drivers, and he had the two laser cannons sticking out the back. It was just a perfect reinterpretation of Rumble, and what a way to end the line. You have Smokescreen at the front, you have Rumble at the end. Two perfectly remastered, re-engineered, re-envisioned characters with some interesting choices mixed in between them, in the years between them.
Wasn't the Alternators line originally supposed to be just like a couple one-offs and that was it? Like it was going to be Smokescreen and maybe like one other figure?
Well, yeah, you know, Generations was supposed to be like that too. You know, I don't remember if Alternators was supposed to be like that necessarily, but, you know, Generations was supposed to be, I think, just like the first five characters, and then they got that huge response at BotCon 2005, and it sold like gangbusters.
So we got to make more of
that. And Alternators was selling like that for a long time, too. So there are some characters we didn't talk about, like, you know, such as Skids.
Which is actually a really good interpretation in and of itself. I liked it. I'm not a big fan of the Scion XB in real life. I don't like the looks of it aesthetically. It's a box on wheels. But for an alternator as Skids kind of worked for it. It was a good-looking bot, in my opinion.
Yeah, because it was boxy.
Yeah.
And it had the right colors, and it had the right head. But there are some interesting choices that Takara made. There are some repaints that we didn't get. There was a red Mazda.
Zoom.
There was a red Jazz. There was the blue Prowl. There was also the was it? Don, help me out with the name of that guy.
What mold was it? What mold was it?
He was like the police car. There was the world's smallest figure of him.
Red Alert? Alert?
No. Why can't I think of him?
I don't have enough pieces to put together here.
Was he with Kiss Players?
Was it an exclusive?
Hang on, let me check the wiki. There was also the silver version of Jazz available. I think it came out as Transformers GT.
Oh, well, now are you talking about it?
It had the orange cones, and the orange cones formed together.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
What the heck is his name?
I can't remember his name, but yeah, because he was part of Kiss Players, not because there were so many sublines branching off of Vinyl Tech. Auto Trooper.
Auto Trooper. Thank you. So there was Auto Trooper. And Auto Trooper was a remold of, was it the Meister?
Yes. The Jazz and Zoom Zoom.
The mold. Jazz. So that was a police version of the Jazz. He came with little orange cones, which would form together into a blaster. There was also a world's smallest version of him that came with a little statue of a girl, which... There is a subculture in Japan that collects sexualized children.
Well,
I don't know how else to describe it. It's a subculture in Japan that is accepted nationwide.
Don't research it. Just
suggestive poses and young girls.
It's not the Western culture. It's not the way we do things here, but it is there. So let's just leave it at that.
Right. It's their culture. Being a father of two girls, it's hard for me to explain that to them. Eventually, when they start to learn more about the brand, it'll be a difficult conversation. I think I'd rather talk to them about sex than Kiss Players. So towards the end of Alternator, Sakara started... Yeah, so towards the end of Vinyl Tech, Takara started releasing a subline called Kiss Players. And these were the alternators. They came with additional weapons. So the Hot Rodimus came with the fishing pole, which would become the pipes that stuck on his forearm.
Exactly.
The Optimus Prime came with a surfboard.
Which became
swords, right?
Mm-hmm.
But... Each alternator came with a little girl, a little PVC vinyl girl statue that you could swap out the legs and put them in a sitting pose so that they can fit inside of the car. Or they had a little statue that would stand right next to the figure. And the story of Kiss Players was...
And we're not making this... We know Rick is prone to embellishment from time to time. But preemptive, he's not making this up.
Right. I am not making this up. The Kiss player Autobots would get their power to fight when the girls would kiss them on the cheeks. Thus, the name Kiss Player. So by receiving a kiss from a girl, the Autobots were powered up to fight evil. And in the manga and stories... you had such things as Optimus Prime telling Marissa Fairborn that you really shouldn't eat too much cherry ice cream because you're going to get fat. True story.
Yeah, so don't look up the translated manga. Don't do the research on that. And they all came with audio dramas. Toys. Yes, and enjoy it. Don't listen. They came with audio dramas on CDs as well. I had the
Kiss Play Broad Blast, which was Blaster, essentially. And it was a redeco of the Skids mold. He was silver, and then in robot mode, he was like red and I think silver and yellows. And I'll never forget, I was married at the time, and I told my wife that, you know, I'd ordered a Transformer, which was not unusual. It was about $50. Again, not unusual. When it came in and I opened it up and I pulled the package out, she's like, "What is that on the front of the package?" And she got to looking at it and she's like, "What is this?" It was very, it was probably the most uncomfortable I had ever felt.
So the box art I believe he's referring to is a girl sitting on her butt. And she's got a skirt, and she's pulling the skirt up, and then the Transformers coming from between her legs.
I believe so.
So that's something that happened, and we all let it happen.
Well, there wasn't much we could do about it because we just have to say...
We bought it.
But we bought it for the toys, not the fiction, which is the only, which is one of the few times you'll hear me say the fiction. Because I've always said, like for BotCon, the fiction is important to the box set to give the box set its place in continuity. The fiction for kids players, bye-bye.
Yeah.
Enjoy the awesome-looking Rodimus.
Although I hear rumor that our own Michael Swift, he's a big fan of Kiss Play. So, you know, he's kind of weird. Like, he's not here to defend himself, so we're gonna call him out on that.
But there was some other stuff that came out that was associated with Kiss Players but wasn't part of the Alternators line. And I believe the G1 Soundwave redecos, was that part of it, Don? There was the White Ravage that came with the orange.
What was this? I don't recall this.
Okay. There was two different sets, I believe. One set was some of the Decepticon cassettes repurposed as new characters. The White Ravage was called Glit, but retroactively became Shattered Glass Ravage at some point.
Oh, this was the G1.
The G1, okay. And then you had
this. They released the 3-pack of the G1 Soundwave of the G1 tapes, okay. Redecoed.
I was still thinking, when was Soundwave released as an alternator?
And this is when we first got Rosanna introduced into the Japanese part of the fandom. And the other set, I don't remember much other than Dakaro used to make little bitty circular spheres that became robots. I had one many years ago, or a KO of it. And they were released at the very... I mean, this is like Return of Convoy. This is like Battlestar's very end of Kiss Players. And they came out in very limited numbers from what I remember, because I was trying to find one for a friend for years at BotCon and never saw a set. And there were these little spheres that became little robots, kind of like little watch robots, same kind of just simple transformations. But one thing Kiss Players worked in conjunction with Vinyltech, and which would lead into Alternity, is the massive amount of story interconnectivity. The fiction between all these Vinyltech universes painted this huge tapestry of fiction just merging together into one. It explains stuff from Master Force, from Headmasters, from Victory. It's this sprawling... Basically, it's their Crisis on Infinite Earths, everything getting put into one timeline.
Yeah, I completely forgot about that. You're right. The story for Vinyltech, it was a continuation of the G1 story, where I think someone had traveled back in time. And I think that's where the Ravage thing came in, with the back in time thing. Ravage traveled back in time to stop certain things from happening, which led to the creation of the Vinyltech bodies and transfusing the souls of the G1 characters into their Vinyltech forms.
Right. And then after Vinyltech and Alternators and after Kiss Players, we get to what would be the last hurrah for this kind of this theme, this show accurate stuff, and that would be Alternity.
Which was a different line.
Yeah.
Not connected, but you can tell heavily inspired.
Yeah. Yeah.
Similar packaging too, although smaller.
Yeah. A lot smaller. Very detailed transformations. I don't have any to pull out of here. But detailed transformations. They even reused several different ones. Starscream, Skywarp, and Thundercracker all became a Lamborghini kind of car, with the gold wings being the wings on the back.
Right. I think there was a 350Z, and a Toyota Supra.
Yeah.
Then there's a Bumblebee and
there was Jumper. Optimus, Megatron. There was Star Saber.
And you talk about getting this the character not matching the toy. You had Star Saber as a car and Fortress Maximus as another car. And these all had the racing logos and the sponsors and everything.
Now, this was the very end of this whole thing that's been running for all these years. But the Fortress Maximus, the cheapest one I've seen, is still running about $90. I've not seen one cheaper than $80 to $90 in box.
Yeah,
and they're deluxe size.
I've seen them a few. I remember seeing them as cheap as $45 at one point. But again, they never really took off. There wasn't a whole lot of interest in them. There's also a Bumblebee and a Cliff Jumper redeco.
Yeah, the Prime gets redone as an Ultra Magnus that's literally all white except for the faceplate.
Yeah, I don't have a list in front of me of them. But Alternity, wasn't a big deal amongst the fandom. Like, we didn't really make anything of it too much because it really didn't fit with Alternators because of the size difference. And the transformation was far more complex. Plus, it never got released outside of Takara.
Right.
But it was obviously heavily inspired by that.
Exactly. But it's like the final gasp of this concept of diecast and infinite transformations. And, you know, it was a crazy story about time traveling Optimus. Basically, the Alternity are like gods at this point. They're like Q. They're Transformers that are key, that are basically Q or Discord if you're a Pony fan. But,
no, just no.
Well, I think that's I think we had a great discussion about Alternators, and I didn't think it would be this vivid, but I'm glad we got to talk about Alternators and made me think about them. It's been a long time.
It's actually renewed my interest in them. There was 17 waves in the U.S. Most waves only had one toy, but there was a few that had two. You can look it up on TF Wiki. There's a whole list of all the different ones. Most of them are rather cheap. Some of them are not. Like I've said, Mirage, he usually goes for about $50-$60. Then you got the Nemesis Prime, which is quite pricey still. I saw some on eBay, buy it now as of like $15. And it's simply because now the collector tastes have changed so much. You know, you got we're getting the toys that we really wanted, which are like these super uber versions of the G1 characters and now Beast Wars. Alternators as a standalone line has a lot of great toys to offer. And I think they really shined because they were really the first time that we had gotten Transformers that were nice and articulated and fully licensed and looked like real cars. I mean, they were scaled real cars. And like Don said, at the time, you really couldn't beat the value. $20 for a Voyager-sized toy was so much intricate and detail. I mean, some of these the car modes on some of these guys were, the panel lines were like almost non-existent on some of them.
And I want to say this to the people that are the newer fans who may not know about this or have only heard the negatives. Yes, Alternity is not, they're not masterpiece. I mean, it's not, you're not going to get your G1. Well, yes, thank you. Sorry, your Alternators and BattleTech. They're not your G1 characters in their G1 bodies being their G1 selves. But if you like something different, if you love a character, say Sideswipe, and you want a different incarnation, something different where, like Rick said, the spirit of the character is there, if not the body. There's a lot of great figures
great toys at great value.
On our Facebook page, Jason Rye posted a picture of a modded Alternator Sideswipe, which actually looks a lot better than the actual transformation for Sideswipe.
Yeah, and all it required was making, I think, two cuts. There was a swivel arm that the rear of the car, of the Viper, where it folded down on Sideswipe's back. If you cut a channel that the swivel arm could actually lay down in on the back, and it didn't hurt the toy in any way. All it did was all you did was cut a channel in the plastic underneath the part that you see in car mode. It lays flat or lays down on the chest and allows it to become the chest of the robot. Very simple mod. I never actually did any of mine, but Night Swords actually pointed out that the another great point too that was awesome about the alternators. They also had interiors. If I'm not mistaken, they were the first Transformers to have actual interiors that that you could actually sit a figure in. Had had a steering wheel, had like a little stick shift, seats. You know, they were phenomenal. All did. Yeah,
yeah.
And a lot of people on here on the YouTube chat right now are saying that alternators is actually what got them back into Transformers.
Well, the one thing that's always upset me is whenever the newest version of something comes out, like say we've talked about this in a previous show, where classics and universe is getting put to the wayside because of Masterpiece. But when classics and universe came out, we thought this is it. This is what we've been waiting for. And you can't really just negate an entire line like that just because something newer came out, because we wouldn't have had Y without having X. So appreciate each line for what it did and what it added to the mythos. If the Viper Sideswipe is not your Sideswipe, that's cool. You got plenty of Sideswipes to pick from. But if you like Sideswipe as a character, check out these toys, because there's some damn good toys in these lines.
Well, Transformers is one of those toy lines that whenever something better comes out, the fans tend to forget what came before. And there was some great stuff. I remember back in the day whenever we were collecting alternators, I know me and Insane Galvatron, we had the discussion many, many times. They're not going to get, Transformers is not getting going to get any better than this. How many times have we said that with Masterpiece? They can't get any better than this. And there's always something that comes up. I guarantee you, 5 or 10 years down the line, something better than Masterpiece is bound to come along. It's just the way things have been going.
Yeah, we can't imagine it. But one of my examples is the 2007 movie Optimus. Yeah, that is not a movie-accurate Optimus compared to, say, the Revenge of the Fallen version. But I still like that 2007 Optimus. He's chunky, he's clunky, but he does have his own unique look for an Optimus. And if we hadn't had him...
He's a fun transformation, too.
He's a fun transformation. And the Night Watch version is without a doubt one of the most beautiful decos I have ever seen on a toy. I went and actually bought a box version so I can have one in truck mode and one in vehicle and robot mode. But yeah, it's just don't write off a line because it's an older line.
It's just the evolution of the line. As Don said, without that 2007 Optimus, we wouldn't have the Revenge of the Fallen Optimus.
The thing with alternators, in my opinion, if you're going to go back and get them, might as well get them all. There's not a whole lot of them. And outside of a small handful of figures, you're not going to spend a whole lot of money on them, because at this point, not a lot of people really want them anymore. And that's a shame, simply because they are forgotten line in the history of Transformers. And you know, here we are 10 years post and saying those words, alternators is a forgotten line. If you had told me in 2005 that I would be saying in 2017 alternators is a forgotten line, I would have said you're effing nuts, because they were the hot shit back then, you know. Right. It's amazing how much it changes, and the viewpoints on things. Classics at one time were the it toy, and then something better came along.
Right. So let's end this conversation on this. I want us all to say which classic character never got the alternator treatment that we wish had come out. Duran.
Starscream.
Starscream.
Starscream should have been an alternator.
Dom.
Cosmos.
What?
Get the fuck out of here.
What the hell? Cosmos. Where did that come from?
What's wrong with you?
I don't know.
Massey scratched you somewhere that we're not aware of, and you got fever?
Rick, you tell me. That's the first thing I followed up. Rick, you tell us yours, and give me a second to think.
God damn, man. That is the most.
Let's pull a name out of my ass. Name that you could think of. Cosmos. What?
Well, I'm just saying because my
go-to sea spray.
My go-to classic characters are usually Cosmos and Trax, and they already had Trax. And
what about RC? RC.
Well, I didn't think that would count, so I didn't want to use her because it.
Fine,
it,
whatever. Cosmos. God damn it, Don.
The hell, Don? Cosmos? Alternators Cosmos.
Sometimes the things that come out of your face just make me so mad.
I was on the spot and thought about the first favorite character I thought of. Look, give me a minute to think, okay?
That is a brain fart that is stinking up the okay. right there.
Okay, I got one.
That is an egger, Don.
I got one, okay? I got a better one, okay? It's slightly better. Slightly better. Downshift.
Well, we didn't get camshaft, okay. and technically we got overdrive.
So going right. complete the
that's,
omnibot. So,
that's a better answer. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Don.
And what's your face? You say Starscream.
Yeah.
and I go with Huffer. Okay.
Huffer?
Huffer.
That's another WTF. Huffer?
No,
you could do Prime as a repaint and technically get Huffer with a new head if you wanted to go the cheap route without doing a whole new model.
Remember, for the Erector documentary that I directed a couple years ago,
yeah,
we took Alternator's Prime, redecorated it, and redrew a head to become Erector.
I mean, you get a Jaguar that's a Jaguar. I mean, they could do something with Cosmos, maybe.
Well, whatever character, whatever car... or vehicle would have became Starscream, you would have had three easy repaints. Or six.
Right. And let's remember, Alternators was a line of modern-day cars. It wasn't classic cars. And I would have loved to have seen some classic cars, even if they went back and redid like 1950s Jazz or 1950s Optimus or 1960s Megatron. I would have loved to have seen that. Or I would have loved to have seen an old pickup truck as Cup, too.
That is a concept that I wonder if it's ever actually been pitched to Hasbro from somebody is to do a line of classic rods as classic characters.
I pitched some of that as part of the anniversary line because it was in the G.I. Joe versus Transformers comic books.
Yeah. I remember that.
So I took some of those images and I pitched it. And then in that same meeting, Aaron Archer, without me knowing, had taken some modern day characters and redrawn them as G1 toys. So he had taken Bulkhead and redrawn him as a remold of G1 Trailbreaker and took Lockdown. And Lockdown was a remold of... I forget who it was, but his pitch for an anniversary line was to do new characters in G1 style. But we were pieced out shortly after.
Yeah. Well, you know, Darren, you said Starscream, and when you said Starscream, the car that I thought of immediately to be Starscream was a DeLorean.
But that wasn't
That's a
modern
classic
car.
That's a classic car.
I don't
because
know cars.
You got to understand, like whenever Smokescreen came out. He was like the car.
That was the cool car for kids.
Well, that was a cool car for kids, and is also the. It was the latest model of that car. I remember whenever Zoom Zoom came out. We all know Azeem Vengsta, render form. He actually bought a Mazda RX-8, a red one, and it was his Zoom Zoom. You know, and it was the current car. You know, and I know here a year or two ago, he actually finally, you know, he sold it off. But you know, he had that car, and at one time it was a relevant car because it, hey, that was a Transformer, you know.
Well, see, remember, I'm old, so a DeLorean is still a thing for me. So is Cosmos. So
remember, Altair's was current cars.
Well, 2003, a DeLorean could have been current in 2003, 2004,
1956,
ish,
and 1883. Well, I think that'll wrap us up this week. Hope everybody enjoyed this episode. And if you haven't checked it out, last week on TFYLP, we had the phenomenal Greg Berger on the show. You may know him as G1 Grimlock, Long Haul, Skyfire, Outback, several other characters, Ripcord, yeah, Ripcord and G.I. Joe. I was getting ready to say G1 Joe. but we had the phenomenal Greg Berger. So if you haven't checked out last week's episode, it's here on YouTube. You can go watch the phenomenal Greg Berger, or you can also go on to our iTunes or wherever you get our podcast, the audio version. I know it's on Google Play, Double Twist, wherever, and listen to it there. Also, check us out on Twitter at TFYLP and also Facebook group, facebook.com/groups/TFYLP. Down there at the bottom of the screen, help us keep going at patreon.com/TFYLP. Every little bit counts. I know somebody sent me a message on the website that they had tried to contact me via the email. And I know the email is in the end of the podcast, the audio version. That email no longer works. It was associated with the old website before we had to switch servers. So I apologize for that. So if you try to contact us from here on out via that email, however you get it, it doesn't work anymore. So the best way to get a hold of us is either through Facebook or Twitter. Those are the two quickest and easiest ways to get a hold of either me or anybody on the cast of TFYLP. Just send us a message or join the Facebook group. You guys have any closing thoughts?
Well, if you live in the town of Wilbraham, Massachusetts, next Saturday is the election. I am running for public office. Please vote for me.
Yeah. Water is the right of all sentient beings.
That's right. I'm running for water board commissioner because it's a nonpartisan issue. So,
Don,
I want water to be wet.
Yes.
Nothing. Just have a good one.
Happy Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day. Also, I want to thank everybody that chatted in the live chat. Night Swords. Helping us keep straight there. I know we're getting old and our memories are failing us. So, and it was 10 years ago, but you know, it's still a line that we love and still a line that, that we as collectors remember. If you guys listening or watching have not experienced Alternators and you're remotely interested in Masterpiece, then give Alternators a chance. You will not be disappointed. Even though they're 10-year-old toys, they did not disappoint, and I think they're still quite good today.
And hey, if this podcast made you want to go out and buy one for the first time, tell us what you think. Give us some feedback. If you went out and bought one for the first time, or you went back and bought them again from when you gave up the first time, let us know what you think. You know,
just, absolutely, you know. Absolutely. And one more thing: if you love awesome T-shirts like this one I'm wearing right here, the Rat Bat Batman Mash, you can go to rippedapparel.com right now and use the promo code TFYLP Pod, all capital letters, TFYLP Pod. You can save 10% on your order at rippedapparel.com. There's a link to it on the website as well. Use the promo code TFYLP Pod at rippedapparel. So I think I will wrap this up. And again, thanks everybody who joined in the discussion. And we will see you next time on TFYLP. Good night, everybody.
Night all.
Bye.
This has been Transformers for Your Listening Pleasure, a presentation of TFTalk.net. We'd like to thank you for listening and ask that you please rate us on your favorite podcast outlet and share us with your friends. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at TFYLP. Email us at podcast@TFYLP.com. This is Paul Lighting, and on behalf of TFYLP, we'd like to thank you again for listening. And we hope you'll join us next time for another TFYLP.